This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. We hope you enjoyed our first broadcast of the night, Staunton and Gillespie in the South Central Conference affair. Now game two as Carlinville Cavaliers come a-calling on the Litchfield Purple Panthers. My name is Gary Boker alongside Dan Newkirk. And Dan, on paper, this does not look to be a good pairing.
No, it really doesn't. And, you know, it's a, you got two programs in two different directions. Carlinville trying to get a tune-up for the playoffs, for the first-round playoff game next week, and Litchfield just trying to get this season to the end.
If I can give you one ray of hope, okay, are you ready for it? Wisconsin, Illinois.
There we go. A big win for the Illini, and so it is. That was a shock for this guy.
Things could happen. We shall see. The Cavaliers are going to kick things off to start the ball game, and it's going to be a low bouncing kick taken on about the 25-yard line and brought down right there as the return man for the Purple Panthers, number 22, and that is Clayton Walsh, who will be the quarterback as well. So Litchfield will start the offense from their own 29-yard line. First and 10, Purple Panthers. Three wide receivers over to the right side. They'll put a man in motion. They'll fake the handoff. They'll go deep over the middle. Got the receiver wide open. Incomplete pass. You talk about a play that had touchdown written all over it. The Cavaliers' defense was not ready for that as John Corso got behind everybody, Dan, and there was nobody paying attention to him.
There was nobody. Jack Kissinger was, I would call it in defense, but boy, he was up and fooled by the ball fake that Clayton Walsh made. And John Corso was wide open, just got overthrown.
Would have been an outstanding start to the game, but instead it's going to bring up a second and two for the Purple Panthers. This time they'll go to the running game. Drew Hartzell is going to get the call. He'll take the ball out over the 30 to about the 33-yard line. Let's give him a gain of four. That's going to bring up a third and six for the Purple Panthers.
Drew Hartzell is just a sophomore in this lineup. He's had a lot of really valuable varsity playing time these last 2 years. And as this program moves forward, it's going to be on the shoulders of kids like Drew Hartzell.
Well, the thing about him, he's not a tall running back, but he's got good size to him and a low center of gravity. Now rolling out to his left and trying to throw back to the right. Walsh has an incomplete pass fall harmlessly on the ground, and that's going to bring up first punt of the night for the Purple Panthers.
Some pretty heavy pressure there by the Cavaliers defensive line. You know, and a little smaller than we're used to seeing out of the Cavaliers, but yet very athletic, very quick. Get off the ball very well.
It'll be Colton DeLong back to receive this punt. He's been Mr. Everything, the key marquee running back for the Cavaliers. Ooh, blocked, almost blocked was that kick. However, it comes down, and it'll roll down and go out of bounds. They're going to call the ball down on the 40-yard line. So the Cavaliers, who come into tonight's game with a 5-3 record, they look to see if they can pick up win number six and get themselves a better position in the playoffs. And, of course, for the Litchfield Purple Panthers, still in search of win number one for the season. Michael Byatts, 6'2 senior, he'll be the quarterback. They'll have an eye backfield behind him as Robinson will be the fullback. And the tailback will be Colton DeLong. He'll turn to the outside. He'll get some good yardage. Finally going to be run out of bounds after a pickup of about 14 yards. He's all the way down to the Litchfield 46-yard line. Did a good job there of moving to the right and then finding some opening to the outside. One thing you have to say about DeLong, he has a lot of tools, but I think deceptive speed is perhaps the best.
Glider is what I always call him. He doesn't get real high off the ground. Not a lot of heavy or high knee lift, but, boy, he's moving.
He is the feature back of the Cavaliers, and he'll get the call more often than not. This time, however, they're going to go to Colton Robinson, the fullback, and Robinson's going to bring it down inside the 45 to about the 41. And he's going to be stopped there by Jefferson Thomas, the big 6'3", 260-pound senior for the Purple Panthers. Going to bring up a second and about six. So from the Litchfield 42, second and six just underway here in the first quarter. Wide receiver Aiden Noggle goes out to the left side. Cavaliers have pretty much shut down the passing game here in the last three or four games. Noggle will now go in motion coming back to the inside. He'll set a good block for DeLong, and DeLong will scoot down the sideline, and they won't catch him today as he will be into the end zone for the touchdown. So Colton DeLong utilizing a block. You notice there Noggle came in from that wideout position. That was a key block for the touchdown.
Really was. Sprung it once, but once DeLong got to that outside outside sideline on the far side of the field, there really was not a lot that was going to stop him from getting in. There were some purple jerseys in tow and chasing, but just that speed takes over. He was in for the touchdown.
The kicker will be Lonnie Rosentrader. Snaps back. It's low, but they get the ball down. They get the kick up. It's high. It's long. No, it's wide right. So the point after attempt is no good. The Cavalier lead is 6-0. We'll be back with the Carlinville kickoff after these messages on WSMI. The Cavaliers take their first possession. Three plays, 60 yards is the drive. A 42-yard touchdown run by Colton DeLong gives them a 6-0 lead. This scoring drive summary is brought to you by Heinz Furniture and Flooring in Carlinville since 1854. So now once again, the Cavaliers will kick off to the Purple Panthers. Once again, it'll be a short line drive kick. Comes down on about the 30-yard line. It'll go out of bounds. So the Purple Panthers will have the option. They can get the ball on about the 26 where it went out, or they can get the ball on the 35, or they can make them re-kick. What's your option?
I think they'll probably take the ball to the 35.
There you go. It works for me from the 35 then. First and 10 for the Purple Panthers, who are losing here in the first quarter. 10:08 to go. Cavaliers had one possession, and they took that to the house with Colton DeLong doing the honors. He is the guy who has done most of the scoring. That was his 19th touchdown of the year for DeLong. Well, the Cavs come up with nine men on the line of scrimmage. They're going to put pressure on. Was that Blaine Stewart quarterbacking there?
But no, Blaine Stewart ran a jet sweep.
On a sweep, okay.
And Clayton Walsh handed him the ball. Met very quickly in the backfield, though, by a host of Cavalier tacklers.
At the 26, going to be a loss of nine. That'll bring up a second and 19. Stewart says, Coach, I'm not sure I want you to call that play yet. Blaine, a 6-foot, 150-pound sophomore, quarterback the JV team, could be the quarterback of the future. Now in trouble and trying to scoot out and get an opening. Finally, he does. Pass is going to be caught, but it's caught by the wrong team as the interception is going to go to 44 there. I don't have a 44.
T.J. Sims.
Sims is on that one. Okay.
T.J. Sims, the Cavy intercepting that pass.
So Sims gets the INT, and the Cavaliers get the ball again, and they do so in Litchfield territory. From the Litchfield 39, it'll be a first and 10. T.J. Sims with the INT. T.J. with the INT. Cavaliers with a short field with which to work again. They'll fake and go to the air, and it's a deep pass, got a receiver wide open. All he's got to do is catch it, and he has trouble with it. That was Jahaven Johnson, the 5'8", 160 junior, as he cannot bring that one down. So both teams have had a long pass that would have, could have, should have been, but is incomplete.
Yes, Johnson was clearly in the open. Ball just went through his fingertips. Panthers avoiding a touchdown there on that first play of the series.
Jahaven Johnson, a 5'8", 160-pound senior. He's going to go wide left this time. He'll be a flanker way out there, and he'll come back in motion. He'll set the block up for DeLong, and DeLong is once going, again, going off that left tackle, easy for you to say. you get the ball inside the 25 all the way down to, I think they're going to mark it at about the 21-yard line. So we'll give him a gain of 18 for DeLong and a first and 10 for the Cavaliers.
Chase Dealey, one of the senior football players for the Panthers, making the tackle on that play.
Back to the I formation once again. Oh, they go triple I. They'll stack three of them back there and give it to the second man, and that is Jack Kessinger. Kessinger with a nice run as he continues to drive forward. He gets the ball inside the 10-yard line. He's going to be down, looks like, at about the 8-yard line. It'll be a 13-yard gain. It'll be first and goal for the Cavaliers.
That's going to take us inside the Seavers Equipment Red Zone, powered by Seavers and Case IH. Score now with Case IH at Seavers. Check it out online at SeaversEquipment.com.
Looks like they're going to mark that ball down on about the 6-yard line. So it'll be first and goal Cavaliers from their 6-yard line. Set up in a power I formation, give the ball off to DeLong, and he'll dance his way into the end zone, cut to the left, went back to the right, found the opening, and DeLong for the second touchdown of the evening makes it 12-0 Cavaliers at the 8:20 mark of quarter number one. So that took less than 2 minutes from the last touchdown. Thanks to the interception by T.J. Sims, Cavaliers, they're going to try to kick it once again. And again, Lonnie Rosentrater got plenty of leg on that last one. Snap was a little bit low. Let's see how this one goes. Good snap, good hold, good kick, and it's good. So Rosentrater's point after attempt makes it 13-0 in favor of Carlinville. Back with the Cavalier kickoff after these messages on WSMI. Jen Graham, our producer, back in the studio. I'm Gary Boker alongside Dan Newkirk. And, Dan, this is a rough start for the Purple Panthers, to say the least.
Well, each week there's been some hopeful, that maybe this is a week we kind of get on track here. But it's been a very, very slow start by the guys in Purple.
Well, T.J. Sims set this one up with the interception at the 39-yard line of Litchfield. It was a four-play, 39-yard drive with Colton DeLong doing the honors, a 6-yard touchdown. The point after attempt by Rosentrater makes it 13-0. This scoring drive summary is brought to you by Heinz Furniture and Flooring in Carlinville since 1854. Once again, we had a kickoff that goes out of bounds. I think Carlinville is content to let the opposing team start at the 35 because they seem like they want to make sure that there is no kickoff return, and they're 2-for-2 in that department.
Yes, and it's not something they're kicking it high and deep. They're kicking it across the field. And I don't know if they're trying to sprint to make it a recovery at some point, but they've just barely gone out. My fear is one of these times that's going to stop right on the sideline. The
exactly.
Panthers are going to hold up, and the Cabbie's going to slide in and get the ball. And I got a feeling before this is said and done, we're going to see one of those, because I got a feeling we're going to see a few kickoffs.
And so it is. The Purple Panthers will fake the jet sweep. They'll go down over the middle. There's Corso again. However, it's going to be intercepted as Jack Kessinger this time comes up with the interception, and lo and behold, just when you thought Corso might be able to get to it, Kessinger nice in there, second interception of the game for the Cavies.
Very well-thrown ball by Clayton Walsh, and it was right on the numbers, right to John Corso, but Kessinger made a great play on defense to pull down that interception.
T.J. Sims with one interception, and now Jack Kessinger with the second interception. It would help if you're trailing in the game if you keep the ball in your own hands for a while, and the Purple Panthers are not doing that very well as they've had three plays from scrimmage, two interceptions. Now the Cavaliers go into that that triple I again, and it'll be Michael Byatts who's going to call his own number. He's going to finally be run out of bounds, but not until he gets across the midfield. He'll get down to about the 47-yard line. So that'll be a gain of 13 yards and another first and 10 for the Cavaliers. They're in Litchfield territory once again, just like that.
Yeah, Michael Byatt's a very athletic quarterback. As you said, they've kind of got away from the passing game last couple of weeks with the emergence of Colton DeLong. Over 1,400 yards going into this week 9 matchup, but very athletic and can do a lot of damage with his legs and his arm.
They'll go into that triple I once again with two lead blockers out in front of him. DeLong, first line of defense, he bounces off of it, spins to his right, goes back down the field a little bit further. He's finally going to be brought down, but not until he gets down to about the 33-yard line. So we'll give him a gain of 14. Give the Cavaliers another first and 10. They're chewing up the yardage, aren't they?
Yeah, really are. That offensive line up front, we're looking at on the offensive line for the Cavs, Thayer Reels, Chase Michaelis, Christian Griffith, Ethan Trim, and Zachary doing a great job of opening up holes as they have all season for Colton DeLong.
Plus, you've got two lead blockers in front of him when they go with that triple I. Now they're going to roll out and go to the air. Got a receiver down there. Oh, an outstanding defensive effort there for the Purple Panthers as coming up with the deflection was Clayton Walsh. That one looked like it had touchdown written all over it. Walsh at the last second was able to get there. Good coverage. Got that hand up. Got the incompletion.
And Byatt's had the guy he wants. Jack Kessinger, the tight end for the Cavs, one of his favorite receivers, ran a great route. Walsh just stayed right in his pocket and reached in and made a play at the last second. So credit Clayton Walsh with an outstanding play there.
Well, you know, we talked about how the Cavaliers have gone almost solely to the run game, but getting ready for the playoffs, they've got to dust off that passing game as well, so you can't fault them there. This time they'll go to the big guy up front. That is Robinson on the carry as he's going to get the ball down to about the 27-yard line, so a gain of 6 for Robinson. So it's not only DeLong who can run the ball. Nice run there by Robinson. Give him a gain of 6. Brings up a 3rd and about 4.
And not to confuse our listeners, but both running backs in the backfield for the Cavs have the first name of Colton. We got Colton DeLong and Colton Robinson. So it's interesting. I wonder how confusing that can be.
And between
in
the
practice.
Two of them, they have 26 touchdowns this year. Now it's going to be a jump off sides on a hard count by Byatts, and that's going to give the Cavaliers a first down as they'll move the ball down to the 22, and it'll be a first and 10. That's one of those where it doesn't hardly seem fair. You can move the ball at will, it seems like, and then on top of that you add insult to injury by causing the defense to jump.
By going on two, yeah.
So that'll mark the ball down at the 22-yard line, 6:39 and counting as they mark off the penalty and rewind the clock. 13-0 is the Cavalier lead. Byatt's going to hand the ball off to DeLong. DeLong going to be wrapped up as he goes across the 20 down to about the 18. Blake Valestri is in there on the stop for the Purple Panthers. Had some help from some friends, didn't he?
Like, yes, he did. Yeah, Dylan Maxwell was in that play with him. Jefferson Thomas helping out. Names that, as we've called games, those are two names that come up quite a bit for the Purple Panthers.
Yeah, there is some big guys up front for the Purple Panthers who can get the job done. Problem is they haven't had a whole lot of support from the second layer of the defense. And give credit to the Cavaliers. They've had some outstanding blocking from the running backs as well. Now they'll put a man in motion. Instead, they'll come back to DeLong. DeLong is going to go down the sideline. Touchdown saving tackle there by Clayton Walsh as he brings him down on about the 7.
Clayton Walsh showing no quit here on senior night for the Panthers as his last football player or his last football game in the Purple. And so far, he's made several different plays. But that run by DeLong is going to take the ball inside the Seavers equipment. Red Zone, powered by Seavers and Kubota. Score now with Kubota at Seavers. Check it out online at SeaversEquipment.com.
This time they'll give the ball off to the fullback, and big Colton Robinson, he's going to burrow his way into the end zone. So Robinson this time gets the carry. You kind of like to see that. Your fullback blocks and blocks and blocks for you, and every once in a while you got to throw him a bone, as they say. And Colton Robinson does just that as he takes it in from 7 yards out. It will be a touchdown for the Cavaliers. So we've got Colton, Colton, and Colton on the touchdowns thus far. But this one, Colton Robinson. Point after attempt by Rosentrader. As the snap is back, the ball is down. The kick is up. It's high. It's long. And it's good. Point after attempt is good. And makes our score Carlinville 20, Litchfield nothing. And so the Cavaliers take that ball as they started on their own 40. The most longest drive, I guess we should say, as it was 60 yards. And it took them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7 plays to go 60 yards. So a 7-play, 60-yard drive for the Cavaliers culminated with Colton Robinson's 7-yard touchdown run. And then the point after by Rosentrader makes it 20 to nothing. This scoring drive summary is brought to you by Hines Furniture and Flooring in Carlinville since 1854. Cavvy's kickoff coming up after these messages on WSMI. 5:10 to go here in the first quarter. Cavaliers have already amassed 20 points and have a 20 to nothing lead. They'll be kicking off once again. And we'll see, will they go with that short kind of semi-squib kick? Nope, they'll come back to the other side. It'll bounce down on about the 25. It's going to be brought down there by the Purple Panthers. And this time it'll be Drew Hartzell. I like the way this kid runs. He's like a human bowling ball in that when he gets going, he's tough to bring down, Dan.
Yeah, he really is, and it doesn't take a lot of room for him to get going. Very quick, one of those quicker-than-fast guys, and gets to his top speed in just a matter of a couple of yards. So he made the first guy miss and scooted up the sideline for a pretty good game.
And I like the fact that he's only a sophomore. That's one of the ones they'll want to be building on for the next 2 years, will the Purple Panthers.
Okay, we're getting the football switched out. There we go.
And so the Purple Panthers, let's see if they can hang on to it for a while here and keep the possession. They had three plays, punted the first, or we're going to punt the first time, intercepted the second time, intercepted the third time. First and 10 from the 33, they want to see what they can do here. They're going to fake the handoff, and then it'll be Clayton Walsh, who's going to have a nice run. He'll be upended, but not until he gets out over the 40-yard line. Between the 42 and the 43, that's going to be close to a first down. Let's see how they mark it. Looks like it's going to be a little bit short. We'll mark it at the 42, give him a gain of 9, making it second and 1. That's the best play from the offense of the Purple Panthers so far tonight.
Well, and with throwing ball four times, all the defensive backs for the Cavaliers turned and backpedaled 4 or 5 yards before the ball was even snapped, opening up that space.
Now they have a double safety. Everybody else is up on the line of scrimmage. The snap is fumbled, and there's Ethan Trim, the big 300-pounder, coming down on the quarterback Walsh for a loss on the play back to about the 38. So let's call it second and now about 6 yards to go for the Purple Panthers. You know, when you have two safeties sitting there playing just like linebackers and everybody else basically up on the line of scrimmage, they're in the running back's faces, and there looks like they're playing man-to-man all over. They run a little swing pass out here to Hartzell. Hartzell, he loses the first tackler, lowers that shoulder, gets back out over the 40 to the 41. A lot of running there after catching the pass. Pickup only going to be of about 3 or 4 yards, going to bring up a 3rd and 3. And the bad news is Mr. Hartzell is not getting up.
It was a low, very clean, very good tackle here on the sideline, but and Drew Hartzell being so strong lower body, that's almost the only way you can take him on. And it looks like they're looking at an ankle. Looks like they're looking at ankle on Drew Hartzell.
He's in a great deal of pain right now as they indeed are working on that right leg. Chase Dealey comes in over on the far side. He and McGill will be wide receivers over there, along with John Corso. So they've got three wide outs over on that side. And it looks like Litchfield is going to talk things over before they come up with this 3rd and 3 play. 3:43 to go in the first quarter. 20 to nothing is the Carlinville lead. Timeout on the field. We'll take a timeout as well and be back after these messages on WSMI. Following the timeout, it'll be a 4th and 3 for the Purple Panthers from their own 41-yard line. They'll send trips out on the far side, put a man in motion, a penalty flag flies. Are we going to have a procedure call? It indeed will be a procedure call against the Purple Panthers, so that'll back them up 5 to the 36 and make it a 4th and 8.
It appears the movement came from somewhere in the interior line of the Panthers. One of the guards, if not both, I think moved before the snap.
So now the Purple Panthers will send the trips back over to this side, as they'll have an empty backfield. DeLong comes up to be a part of the defense, looking for a place to go, and no place to go. There were just too many Cavaliers there, and Walsh is going to be brought down as he tries to run a, how would we say it, improvised quarterback draw. He wanted to pass, but there was no way he had an opportunity to look for the receivers, so Cavaliers are going to take over on the Litchfield 34.
He was trying to do the right thing. There's a concept known as replacing the pressure that you're feeling rather than running away from it. And Clayton Walsh stepped inside up into the pocket and then was trying to replace that pressure coming from his right side. But the Cavalier linebacker just made a better play, made a tackle. Walsh almost free, I think, would have had the yardage for a first down.
Instead, it'll be Cavaliers' ball. They're going to fake the handoff to DeLong. They've got receivers open deep. Into the end zone it goes, and the catch is made on that play by number 22. That's Lonnie Rosentrater, the kicker, who comes along and makes the catch. So now he's got an opportunity to make 7 points in a row, as for the first time tonight, he is on the reception of a pass, and it is in the end zone, a one-play, 34-yard drive for the Cavaliers. Rosentrater with the touchdown pass, catching it from Michael Byatt. Now he'll try the point after attempt as well. The snap is back. The ball is down. The kick is up. It hits the goalpost and comes back. It is no good, and so the score will remain 26-0, as the Cavaliers have had a little bit of trouble getting the extra points, but they've had plenty of opportunities. So it was a one-play, 34-yard drive, as this time Michael Byatt hooks up with Lonnie Rosentrater for the 34-yard touchdown pass. That is 26-0, the Cavalier lead. And this scoring drive summary is brought to you by Heinz Furniture and Flooring in Carlinville since 1854. We'll be back with the Cavalier kickoff after these messages on WSMI. It's a low squib kick taken on about the 25-yard line, so the Cavaliers have yet to put the ball up in the air in a conventional kickoff kick, but they do stop the Purple Panthers' return at about the 29-yard line. So Litchfield will have the ball on their own 29-yard line, first and 10, with 3:26 to go here in the first quarter. They trail 26-0. And the Purple Panthers will send Chase Dealey out to a slot. John Corso is going to go out there too. They've got three wide receivers over on the right side. They'll have one guy over here all by his lonesome on this side. Is that Jake Cunningham, the wide receiver over here?
Yes, freshman. Freshman Jake Cunningham.
There you go. Getting some experience here, as he'll go one-on-one, and it's not going to be a pretty scene as the Cavaliers come through that offensive line, and they make a big stop there as number 55, Christian Griffith, was in on the stop all the way back inside the 20, back to the 17. So they stormed the Purple Panthers and come up with a loss of 12, makes it 2nd and 22. It's like there was no time to pass. Well, when that happens, they always say counter with the screen. Will the Purple Panthers try that? Cavaliers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys right up on the line of scrimmage. They're coming quickly. What did they call? Looked like they were going to go with the screen. Chase Michaelis is going to be guilty of pass interference there, I believe, as he got into the receiver before he had a chance. That receiver was Blaine Stewart, the 6-foot, 150-pound sophomore. So he'll pick up some much-needed yardage for the Purple Panthers here. Talking
Stewart
over.
Was actually hit twice before that ball got there, so I'm not sure. Almost like they thought maybe the ball was tipped or something.
Could be illegal use of hands, and then interference, but they're just going to give him the interference. That'll bring it back up out over the 30-yard line. So it was a foul that occurred in the back or in the secondary. Brings the ball out to about the 31. Still going to be second down, but it'll be second down at about 8 now. As this time the running back is going to be Clayton Walsh, so used to saying Colton's, but Clayton Walsh decides to call his own number, and he does a good job of scurrying over to the right side, off tackle, swings wide, gets a first down for the Purple Panthers.
They threw a flag in the far side, too. I think they're going to get the Cavies for being a little tardy or excessive on the tackle as it was going out of bounds.
Indeed, it will be a personal foul. Well, you knew something was wrong there because John Corso came running over to the defense of his quarterback there, and that's going to move the ball across the 50-yard line down inside the 45, down to the Carlinville 43. So for the first time tonight, the Purple Panthers have the ball in Cavalier territory thanks to the unsportsmanlike penalty on the Cavaliers. 2:35 to go here in the first quarter. 26-0 is the score. I have no idea why we're holding up now. I guess we're getting the play called in. Finally, it's there. McGill is the wide receiver over to the right side. We'll send Stewart in motion. He'll fake the handoff, and then Walsh is going to take the ball himself. Walsh is going to be brought down there by Hunter Robinson, as Robinson will make the stop at the 43, so going to be little or no gain at all. We'll call it second and 10 with the ball still resting on the Carlinville 43-yard line.
Running that little ball fake and Clayton Walsh keeping the ball has been something that the Purple Panthers have had a little bit of success with, and I think they're staying with that philosophy.
Well, they're going to send four receivers out wide to the left, one to the right. Walsh going to try to get the hand. Oh, I tell you what, he ducked a big defensive lineman coming in there and did a good job of getting some yardage out of that, as it looked like that was Tyler Emmons. Thought he had a bead on him, but Walsh simply ducked under him, takes the ball down to the 35-yard line. Pickup of 8, going to bring up a 3rd and 2. That's a heads-up play by Mr. Walsh.
Boy, it almost looks like he had the first down yardage, but he must have stepped out of bounds just a couple of yards short without realizing it. He had his eye on defenders and was trying to tiptoe up that sideline.
He's seen a lot of white jerseys in his face tonight, shall we say. The backfield is empty once again. Walsh now has Stewart in motion. He'll keep it himself. Tell you what, he drove his shoulders forward, dropped his head, picked those knees up, a good hard drive down to the 32. Needed 2, picked up 3, 1st and 10, Purple Panthers. And I'll tell you what, that was an impressive run by Clayton Walsh.
Just put his head down. It was big Reed Kleeman at 6 foot, 200 pounds, at the defensive end spot that took on Clayton Walsh there. And Walsh made contact and moved him a couple more yards to get that first down. So nice play by Clayton.
The trips are out here to, in fact, there's 4 receivers out here. Corso is out here as well. The Purple Panthers have a split end, and all 3 of the backfield members set in slot formations, spread slot formations, if you will. The backfield is empty. Walsh now has Stewart going with him, and it'll be a fake once again as he tries to turn. This time the big guy, Ethan Trim, comes through and is able to make the tackle. And then in a gentlemanlike manner, he helps to pick him up. Loss on the play of what, about 4 there?
Loss of 4, yeah. And big guy is right, Ethan Trim, tipping the scale at 300 pounds on a 6'3 frame, so a big defensive player there for the Cavies.
Yeah, he was agile enough too that Walsh couldn't get away from him, and that was that's one thing that Clayton has been able to do with his on-rushing defensive lineman tonight, but not that time. Into the final minute of the first quarter we go, and now the Cavaliers, they're going to come rushing again. They'll come up the middle, and the Purple Panthers have an opening there. Sturt, in and out of the hands of Blaine Sturt, and that had touchdown written all over it as the Cavies had come up right in the face of the Purple Panthers. They were playing tough man-to-man defense all along the line. Sturt got behind the defense, but he just couldn't haul that one in, and that will bring up a 3rd down and 14. Oh, what could have been.
Yeah, it really could have been. And the offensive line gave Clayton Walsh a little bit of time to get the ball off. Clayton threw a great ball. Blaine just, it's still young, it's just sophomore, had trouble pulling that one in.
You know what I say? Take the gloves off. Third and 13. See if it works again. No, the defense this time, they're going to soften up a little bit. He's going to go deep again. There's a little bit of pushing over the far sideline, and the one official was looking right at it and did not throw the flag. The other official, who was looking right at the same play, did throw the flag, and I have trouble when that happens.
Right. The nearby guy. You know, and sometimes, though, you know.
It's not my call.
Well, or you're too close, you know.
Yeah.
You can't see the forest because of the trees, you know, kind of concept where you're too close to the situation.
Yeah.
And that guy who's just can take in the bigger picture sometimes can see the contact.
Well, and sometimes, and it's the angle of the contact. Sometimes you don't realize that one guy pushed off on the other. But it is a penalty against the Cavaliers, and it will move the ball down inside the 25, down to about the 21-yard line. So that's going to be enough for a first and 10 for the Purple Panthers. 41 seconds to go here in the first quarter. This will be the ninth play of the drive for the Purple Panthers. As following the penalty, they'll mark the ball down. And with an empty backfield, they'll go again. Walsh once again is going to try to fake the handoff and keep it himself. And once again, Mr. Trim comes back there to have a meeting with him. Back at about the 25-yard line for a loss of 4. Going to bring up a second and 14 for the Purple Panthers. Still about 20 seconds to go here in the first quarter. But if I'm the Panthers, I think I might go ahead and take my time here. Let the clock run out. Be ready for second quarter. Get a little bit of breathing room there, because the offensive line, they've been doing some tough work trying to hold out this humongous Carlinville defense. And that's what the Purple Panthers decide to do. They're going to run that first quarter clock out. We'll go to quarter number 2, and Litchfield, they are on the 25-yard line of the Cavaliers. It'll be a second and 14 as they're driving, trailing 26 to nothing. Back after these messages on WSMI. Jen Graham, our producer, back of the studio. I'm Gary Boker alongside Dan Newkirk. Purple Panthers are trailing 26 to nothing, but they're knocking on a door as Walsh is going to try to turn the corner. He has 4 different Cavaliers coming after him. He's going to be brought down on the play by Joe Lewis as the free safety came up to make the stop, and that's going to bring up a third and about 14 as he was brought down just about the line of scrimmage from the Cavalier 25. So once again, Litchfield will have wide receivers. They'll send 4 of them out here, all to the right side. 3 of them in a split slot. McGill is the wide receiver who's the split end. They'll try to go over the middle. And I tell you what, Walsh was trying to get that one off before he got hit. He didn't have any idea where that ball went to, because Reed Kleeman came in and put him flat on his back. It's an incomplete pass, bringing up a 4th and 14, and Cavalier pressure prevalent there.
Right, it really was. Blaine Stewart was the intended receiver, was running a crossing pattern and just could not get to where Walsh had to get rid of the ball to. Because, boy, that was some pretty heavy pressure that Cleek brought in on Walsh in that play.
And once again, they're coming at him and trying to make sure the receivers do not get open. Oh, there's a catch by Corso at the 10-yard line, and a block as coming across the middle was Blaine Stewart. Did you see him get waylaid by the linebacker coming in from the other side?
Taken out. He was just taken out of the play completely.
I thought the ball was in the air when that happened.
Yeah, right. No flag on the play, but that play's going to take us inside the Seavers Equipment Red Zone. Powered by Seavers and Exmark. Score now with Exmark at Seavers. Check it out online at SeaversEquipment.com.
From the Carlinville 10-yard line, it'll be a first and goal. The ball resting just inside the chalk there, I should say paint, of the 10-yard line marker. So they'll have to get a touchdown, but before they get the opportunity with a first and goal from the 10, it is timeout by the Cavaliers, as it is the Purple Panthers who are marching towards the end zone at the north end. When we come back, you're listening to WSMI. Receivers everywhere. First and goal from the 10 to the air to Corso. Touchdown, Purple Panthers! John Corso acts like I've been there before, acts like I've had it, no problem there at all. It's kind of nonchalantly. He flips the ball to the official. Penalty flag down, and I got to believe that's got to be on roughing the passer.
I believe so, yeah. Walsh took a big hit after the pass was made. I believe it was Reed Kleeman again, getting there just a little tardy.
So now the referee is going to bring the signal over to us. It's going to be a personal foul against the Cavaliers, roughing the passer. The touchdown is going to be good. The penalty is going to be assessed on the Cavaliers on the kickoff. But the Purple Panthers, they are celebrating over here over on the near sideline, as in the second quarter with 10:39 to go, they have found pay dirt as Clayton Walsh hooks up with John Corso for the touchdown pass, covering 10 yards. Now, trying for the extra point, it's going to be Walsh, and he's going to be wrapped up at about the 5, and he's not going to get in. So the point after attempt is no good, but the Purple Panthers are on the board. They're trailing now 26-6. We'll be back with the Litchfield kickoff after these messages on WSMI. Jen Graham, our producer, back in the studio. I'm Gary Boker alongside Dan Newkirk. The Litchfield Purple Panthers, a 13-play, 71-yard drive, culminated with Clayton Walsh hooking up with John Corso for a 10-yard touchdown pass. Point after attempt was no good. This scoring drive summary is brought to you by Heinz Furniture and Flooring in Carlinville since 1854. Dan, you know, not only did they score, but it was such a long drive for the Purple Panthers as they had the ball for 13 plays. That's really got to bode well with them.
Yeah, really. Just a great series for the Purple Panthers to put together here in the first half. It was aided with a couple of penalties along the way, but the hookup between Walsh and Corso twice really fueled that drive.
So from their own 40 now, the Cavaliers will give the ball back to DeLong. He'll scoot to the outside. He'll go right around the Purple Panther defenders, and they won't catch him today as he'll head right on down the sideline to the end zone for the touchdown. So the Cavaliers may have given up 6 points just a moment ago. However, the big man on campus, that is Colton DeLong, he saw to it that they got those 6 points back. Toot sweet, as it is a one-play, 60-yard drive culminating with a one-play, 60-yard touchdown run for Colton DeLong. Now the point after attempt by Rosentrader. The snap is back, and the kick is up, and it is good. So that makes our score 33-6. But a one-play, 60-yard touchdown drive. Colton DeLong gets the Cavaliers right back on the board. This scoring drive summary is brought to you by Heinz Furniture and Flooring in Carlinville since 1854. We'll be back with the Cavalier kickoff after these messages on WSMI. What's the old saying? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Well, the Cavaliers giveth and they took it away. They gave the Purple Panthers 6 points and went back right back and got 7.
What comes around goes around.
But in any event, Litchfield, I think they've got one thing that it gives them a straw in their hat tonight. They will not be shut out. And when you have had as little success as perhaps the Purple Panthers have had this year, it's good to know that you have some of those maybe small victories, but victories nonetheless. This ball is touched by the Purple Panthers, then goes out of bounds, as most of them had. But since the Purple Panthers touched it, it will be their ball out of bounds. So they'll mark it at the 20, looks like about the 25-yard line. That's what we'll call it. And so from there, Litchfield will scrimmage, trailing now 33-6. Colton DeLong with the touchdown of 60 yards. And it will be a first and 10 from the 25 for the Purple Panthers. Still 10-16 to go till halftime. They're going to pass over the middle. Oh, it's going to be intercepted there as the Carlinville defense, once again, this time it was Mason Duckles who comes up with the interception. We've got flags all over. Let's see how they decide on this one, because that pass looked like it was intended for Corso, slightly over his head. Duckles with the interception. Personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct against Carlinville. Is this after the interception?
Well, I think so. It was another 20 yards almost up the field from where the interception occurred. So I think Carlinville will retain possession just a little bit farther away from the end zone. I think that maybe Litchfield went to that well one too many times there in such a short period of time. They tried to go back to that post pattern to John Corso again, and the free safety was just sitting on it waiting.
So the Cavaliers will get the ball. They'll have it backed up all the way out to the Litchfield 40. This, however, is the third interception of the night for the Cavaliers defense. Sims had one, Kessinger had one, and now Duckles has one. So there are three interceptions on the evening, and the Cavaliers have the ball at the Litchfield 40-yard line, leading 33-6, still 10 minutes to go till halftime. Handoff and going right up the middle, as this time they'll give the ball off to the fullback, Colton Robinson. Robinson will get the ball down to the 33, so we'll give him a gain of 7 and make it 2nd and 3. Colton Robinson on the carry there. We're in trouble now, Coach. The pizzas have arrived, and I may be leaving this end of the booth to get to the other end of the booth.
Our good friends at Pizza Man in Litchfield.
We got a problem. One of the officials just smelled the pizza and called timeout. If he starts coming up these steps, I'm closing the door.
Yeah, don't let him in. Those guys eat too much.
There we go. Aiden Noggle will be the wide receiver over here. I thought they blew the whistle to start the clock, and as they did, the Cavaliers quick snapped it, and the official says, wait a minute, we weren't ready. From the 33, it should be 2nd and 3. They're having a discussion. I know what the discussion is. Did you smell the pizza? I smell the pizza.
Well, interesting, though. That's still a delay of game penalty. Whether you snap it before or later, it's a delay of game. So, but they're going to get another snap from the same place.
2nd and 3 from the 33. As this time, Byatt's up under center. He'll give the ball off to DeLong. DeLong is going to get hit at the 30, and he'll drive forward to about the 28. So he needed 3, and it looks like he's going to pick up enough for a 1st and 10 for the Cavaliers. So the Cavies, they're moving the ball from their 40. They moved it down to the 28. It's going to be a 1st and 10 as we hit the 9-10 mark here in quarter number 2, 33-6. Cavaliers with the lead. Cavaliers with the ball. Hayden Noggle, he'll be flanked way out here to the left side. And all they're going to do is give the ball off to DeLong. DeLong is going to go right up the middle, and he's going to take it in for the touchdown, as DeLong just seemed like he must have slippery outfit on there, because the Purple Panthers having a rough time getting hold of him at all. And so at the 8:48 mark, Cavaliers are on the board once again.
A very productive first half for Colton DeLong so far. That is his 4th touchdown run. He's got 10 carries for 202 yards. Not a bad first. That's not a bad game, let alone first quarter and a half.
Yards. The ball is back. The kick is up. The kick is good. Rosentrader does it once again. And that will give the Cavaliers the 40 points as they lead 40-6. We'll be back with the Carlinville kickoff after these messages on WSMI.
So who will be?
What did we give him on that 28?
28, yeah. Who will be their running back coming in? Who's their JV guy?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Because I had Bobby Seal.
I wouldn't be surprised if they don't go to Robinson and let him run more.
Just give him the ball more?
Yeah. Okay, so what did I have on that? One, two, three. Three plays.
Three.
And
28-yard scoring drive.
All right.
Scoring run.
40-yard drive, 28-yard run by DeLong. Okay, WSMI. 8:48 to go until halftime. The Cavaliers have picked up yet another touchdown. It was a three-play, 40-yard drive. Colton DeLong culminating the drive with a 28-yard touchdown run. Lonnie Rosentrater with a point after makes it 40-6. This scoring drive summary is brought to you by Hines Furniture and Flooring in Carlinville since 1854. And what did you say? Mr. DeLong has one, two, three, four touchdown runs already?
Four scores and 202 rushing.
It's Corso who will take the kickoff at about his own 25, and he'll get a nice run back out to about the 40-yard line.
So Joe Lewis forcing Corso out of bounds here on the near sideline. He's a player. He's only a junior. Weighs in at 165 pounds on a 5'8 frame and very active. He's one of the two safeties for the Cavs. He's a very active player in on a lot of plays.
So from the 40-yard line, Litchfield trailing 40-6. We'll get the ball. And once again, they'll send those four receivers out there. They'll fake the Stewart. Walsh is going to keep it himself. He's got blockers over on that side, but they can't get the wall set up for him as he's going to be brought down right about at the line of scrimmage, bring up a second and 10. I like the idea there, but give credit to that Carlinville defense. They simply swarmed to the ball. They had more hats there than in the Purple Panthers.
Yeah, they really did, and they keep running that ball fake with the quarterback running the ball. But that's all set up by a running of the ball where I think if Litchfield would just make that handoff and get that handoff some.
Blaine Sturr says, I'd like to have a chance.
Well, and then maybe Clayton Walsh can open some of those back up. But right now they're just sitting on him and spying pretty hard.
That will bring up a second and 10 from the 40. Clock running inside 8 minutes we go. Now the quick pass out here to Stewart. Stewart makes the catch, but he's going to barely get back to the line of scrimmage. However, penalty flags come in as there are a couple of Cavaliers. Now there's going to be another. There's a holding call going to be called against the Purple Panthers, and a second penalty flag comes in, or maybe they're just marking exactly where that happened because one of the Cavaliers defenders, that was Ramey Lewis, he patted the guy on the back, letting him know, hey, good sportsmanship here. Cavaliers, however, they're going to take that penalty, which occurred at the 39, so it's going to move the ball back to the 29-yard line. And it's going to be still second down, but now it's going to be second down and 21. After administering the penalty, they'll set the ball ready for play. As you said, the three wide receivers over here to this side, two wide receivers over to the other side. Hartzell's one of those out there. And, trying to get the pass. Incomplete, out of bounds. I'll tell you what, Clayton Walsh is really taking a pounding there. I believe, was that Dylan Cunningham?
I think it was Ethan Trim.
Oh, 56, okay.
56.
It's Trim again. Now he's coming out of the game, and at 300 pounds, when he comes down on you, that's a body slam in the worst degree. Incomplete pass going to bring up a third, and still about 21 to go for the Purple Panthers. Ball resting on their own 29-yard line. Corso's wide out here to the near side, along with McGill. Got three wide receivers over to the far side over there. As we'll see, Will Walsh have enough time. He'll pump fake, try to go up the middle on the draw. It's not there as the Cavaliers' defense collapsed that pocket very quickly. Coming up on the stop was number 52. That's Chase Michaelis, as it's going to bring up a fourth down and punting situation for the Purple Panthers. Well, on their last drive, they were able to come up with a touchdown, and then interception by Duckles thwarted the next possession, and now having trouble getting the wheels to roll for the Purple Panthers. They're going to be punting into a bit of a breeze as we look at that big flag there on the south end zone. It is unfurled, breeze out of the north. Purple Panthers punting into the north, and it's going to go off the side of the foot and out of bounds at the 30-yard line. And Cavaliers leading 40-6. They're going to have outstanding field position as they're going to get the ball on the Litchfield 29-yard line. They're going to mark it. I could see what he was trying to do. He was trying to keep it out of the wind, and he was trying to keep it away from the return men. Problem was, it just didn't have any distance at all. Now the Cavaliers with a big lead and a big chance for more points. They'll come up to the line of scrimmage. The ball's on the left hash mark as Carlinville going from right to left or to the south end zone here in the second quarter. Byatt's going to come back, and he'll hand the ball off to DeLong. DeLong goes, nah, he's not going to get that touchdown. There's penalty flags flying all over the place as one of the lead blockers simply spun the defender around and threw him to the ground, and even I could tell that was a holding.
Right, that one's going to come back. Number 56, that was Blake Balestri that got into the background. And like you said, they just grabbed him and threw him down. That was an easy call for the
And the thing
official.
Of it is, as elusive as DeLong is, I'm not sure he needed that block. You know, in the open field, he's a tough out. He is tough to bring down. But instead, the flag thrown at the 25, they will back the Cavaliers up. Cavaliers ready to break the huddle and come to the line of scrimmage before the line of scrimmage has been established. They'll take it back to the 35. So, in essence, it's a 10-yard penalty from where the penalty occurred, but it's only a 6-yard penalty. So it'll be first and 16 for the Cavaliers from the 35-yard line. And they'll give the ball off to DeLong once again. Oh, DeLong going right up the middle. Good field, open field tackle there by the Purple Panthers. Did you get a number on that guy?
Yeah, that was Dylan Maxwell coming up from his middle linebacker position, coming forward hard. Meeting DeLong in the hole, and that's the first real time that we've seen that the Purple Panthers have stopped DeLong anywhere near the line of scrimmage.
Well, as we said, DeLong is very elusive, very difficult to wrap up, but not a bad job at all there, making sure you got a shoulder pad in him, got two arms around him, bring him down for a gain on the play of about 4 or 5. Now they're going to pull that guard, give DeLong an extra blocker out there. He's going to cut back to the other side, but they're going to get hold of him by the ankle and hang on. And was that DeWitt out there again, or who was that?
DeWitt come and help clean up, but it was Dylan Maxwell again initiating the contact. They've got Maxwell. They've got him playing back almost where a free safety would be. He's a good almost 10 yards, no, more than 10 yards off the line of scrimmage. And I think probably
he's mirroring
playing
DeLong.
Spy
yeah.
on DeLong, right. And
you know, the
plays,
only thing he needs, though, is a lasso.
Right.
If he had a lasso, he might be able to hang on to it. But doing a good job of coming up, making contact the last couple of times. We'll see. Oh, ball's on the ground, and this time Byatt's mishandled the snap. And he's going to have to pick it up himself off the ground. And that's going to bring up a fourth down, but it'll be fourth and about, about 5 or 6 for the Cavaliers. They're on their own, or on the Litchfield 25-yard line, excuse me, as we head to the 5-minute mark of quarter number 2. But you know they're going for it here on fourth down. However, official wants a timeout, as it will be timeout Cavaliers. 4:59 to go till halftime. 40-6 is the Cavalier lead. We'll be back with their fourth down play after these messages on WSMI. Whoa, all right.
Who are they playing?
Gillespie.
Oh, yeah. Route 4.
That's the rival game. That's a cool miners rival
game. They don't like each other.
Oh.
They do not like each other.
When I was coaching at Gillespie, we had got kids who, the whole week of homecoming, they went out and guarded the field.
Yeah.
Wouldn't let Sean kids. Because the year before, the Gillespie kids went down and burned a big G on midfield stripe to make sure it didn't happen again.
What's good for the goose is not always good for the gander.
All right, here we go. WSMI. Fourth down play for the Cavaliers. They'll go to the I formation. They'll put a man in motion. They'll fake the ball to DeLong. Got a receiver wide open over there, and the catch is made, and the touchdown is scored. That was almost entirely too easy that time because the Cavaliers had Jack Kessinger wide open for the touchdown, and I think the Purple Panthers got caught looking in the backfield there.
Well, and that's what you have when you got a running back like Blake DeLong. You know, he requires so much attention from so many people that when you do make a ball fake, pull it down, and throw a pass, it's very easy to get behind the defenders. That's kind of respect that DeLong demands.
So it's a 25-yard touchdown pass from Byatt to Kessinger. Point after attempt is up, and it's good. 46-6 is our score with 4:52 to go here in the second quarter. We'll be back with the Cavalier kickoff after these messages on WSMI. Jen Graham, our producer, back in the studio. I'm Gary Boker alongside Dan Newkirk. The Cavaliers got a short field as a result of the errant punt by the Purple Panthers. They started on the Litchfield 29-yard line. It was a four-play, 29-yard drive. Michael Byatt to Jack Kessinger, the 25-yard touchdown pass. It came on fourth down. This scoring drive summary is brought to you by Heinz Furniture and Flooring in Carlinville since 1854. So that time, the fact that the Cavaliers were in four-down territory enabled them to go for it on fourth down. Had that been up around midfield or a little further back, who knows, they might have punted, but with as much confidence as they have in their defense, a very good play call there as they caught Litchfield looking for the man who'd scored four touchdowns already, faked to him, and that left Jack Kessinger wide open. He did the honors of making the catch and scooting into the end zone untouched for the 25-yard touchdown run. Makes it now 47-6 as the Purple Panthers going to Corso. Corso makes a nice catch, gets out over the 25-yard line as he's going to get the Purple Panthers first down. Good play there as it was Walsh hooking up with Corso. Good results. Moving the ball out to the 25-yard line.
And that crossing route seems to be something that the Cavaliers are having trouble picking that up. I mean, it's no doubt that Walsh is wanting to go to Corso on it.
It's just a question of will he get enough time to throw it. Now he has a receiver out there, but he is hit on his back foot as he throws it. It's going to be intercepted. And doing the honors this time is Jack Kessinger. And Kessinger is going to take it in for a 38-yard touchdown on the interception. Well, Kessinger just caught one pass from Byatt, and now he catches another one and takes it in. I have him down for 38 yards. Is that pretty close?
Yes. I think he caught the ball right at the 38-yard line. A little underthrown, but understandable when the Walsh taking a big hit as he was letting go of the ball. His intended receiver, Corso, was coming on a crossing pattern low, but he was throwing for Blaine Stewart on the post pattern.
Just simply did not have enough time to get to his front foot. He got onto his backside is what he did. Point after attempt by Rosentrader is good. 54-6 is our score. That was a one-play, 38-yard touchdown drive by the Carlinville Cavaliers, as it was Jack Kessinger with a 38-yard interception. And this scoring drive summary is brought to you by Heinz Furniture and Flooring in Carlinville since 1854. We'll be back with the Carlinville kickoff after these messages on WSMI. Not often does one player get a score two touchdowns, catching a pass from his quarterback for one, and catching a pass from the other quarterback to the other. But you know what? Jack Kessinger, he's going to remember that one for a long time. And now the Cavaliers with a longer kickoff. It does not go out of bounds. It comes down on the 7-yard line. And the Purple Panthers, luckily they had somebody over there. That was Clayton Walsh, who was able to retrieve it. That's what you were talking about, Dan. If you don't go get those, you're going to end up losing them.
And that's two in a row now that the Cavaliers kicker has put inside the 10-yard line and just killed it barely in bounds. Clayton Walsh has to really delay to go out of bounds, hopefully, so he can get the ball to the 35-yard line. He's had to pick two of those up and get what he can.
And so with 4:08 to go here in the second quarter and trailing 54-6, the Purple Panthers once again get the ball back with poor field position on their own 13-yard line. they've got receivers everywhere. Nobody else in the backfield but Clayton Walsh. So unless he's going to run a quarterback draw, we're going to be going to the air once again, will the Purple Panthers. And the Cavaliers, they're licking their chops. They're going to send the big boys in after him. They'll have four guys coming hard. Everybody else going to sit back in coverage. Walsh is going to be spun down and brought to the ground as he faked to Stewart and then was spun down back at the six-yard line. Well, they're going to give him a loss on the play of about seven, going to bring up a second and 17. I don't think the Cavaliers care about that motion man at all. They don't seem to be worried about him. There's this zeroing in on the quarterback. Perhaps we should give him the ball. It's easy to say from up here, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Four wide receivers over here to the right side. We got one split to the left. Cavaliers going to back off on the defense now. Stewart is not going to get the ball. Penalty flag is thrown as the handoff or the running back is the quarterback, and he's going to try to go back out. He'll get back out to about the line of scrimmage. We'll see what the penalty flag is all about here. Second and 17. If it's against the offense, I'm not sure what you don't say, hey, forget it, because it'll only be half the distance. And that's what the Cavaliers are doing here as they talk to the captain. And Jack Kessinger says, nah, we don't need that penalty. We'll take the play. It was an illegal shift. Kessinger wisely says, nah, we don't need that. Senior defensive back makes that call. They'll wind the clock back up as they take the down instead. It'll be third and 17, ball resting on their own six-yard line. For the Purple Panthers, we head down to the three-minute mark. Walsh looking over the middle, and he's almost tackled in the end zone. It's finally going to be brought down there at about the two-yard line as he avoided a safety, but it's going to bring up a fourth and 17. And I'm not so sure, Dan, as I might want to take the safety there, give up the 2 points, and at least have an opportunity to maybe kick that ball free from the 20-yard line instead of facing duress as the kicker is back at the back of the end zone. Is that Corso?
It is. It is John Corso.
And his heels are not far. I think it's going to take a bounce and be caught and taken into the end zone. Is that T.J. Sims?
Yes, number 44, T.J. Sims.
So technically, I guess you call that a punt return for a touchdown, as T.J. Sims will get the punt return for the touchdown. I'm going to give him, what, about 10 yards there? And that'll make it 60-6. No, the punt. He fielded the punt on the 10, didn't he?
Ooh, I thought it was closer to about the 2.
Okay.
I think the punt barely cleared out of the end zone.
I was just going to give him a little credit for running a little further. In any event, the point after attempt is up, and Rosentrader is no good on the punt, on the point after attempt this time. And that makes it 60-6 in favor of the Cavaliers. We still have 2:14 to go till halftime. We'll take a break when we come back on WSMI.
How's your math?
What'd you give him? Did you really think it was two?
It barely got out of the end zone, Gary.
Okay.
It hit at about the goal line, and he picked it up about the 2 and just ran in.
Okay, I thought he ran further than that.
No.
Oh, 2 yards.
I wish he
and
would.
And that was T.J. Sims.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. WSMI. Well, T.J. Sims was the right man in the right place at the right time. He took a very errant punt and returned it a very minimal distance and got maximum result, that is 6 points. So it was a one-play, two-yard drive. T.J. Simmons with a punt return for the touchdown. The scoring drive summary is brought to you by Hines Furniture and Flooring in Carlinville since 1854. Corso gets the ball on the 30-yard line, returning the kickoff. He'll get it out about 7 or 8 yards. Let's call it out to the 38. So from their own 38, the Purple Panthers will send that offense out on the field once again as they trail 60-6 here in the first half. T.J. Sims getting in on the scoring drive. So DeLong has 4 touchdowns. Kessinger has a couple of touchdowns. Sims has 1. And Rosentrader has a touchdown as well. So the Cavaliers are spreading the wealth around. The Purple Panthers, they're spreading the offense around. Stewart going to be in motion. Stewart not going to get the ball. Walsh going to keep it himself. He'll get the ball out to about the 41, 42-yard line. Let's give him a gain of 3. We'll call it 2nd and 7 for the Purple Panthers, who did get a score. That came back about 8 minutes ago, early in the second quarter. A very good drive for the Purple Panthers. 13 plays, 71 yards. Be nice here with 100 seconds to go to halftime if they could put together another pronounced drive, even if it doesn't score, just to be able to hang on to the ball for a little bit here, as now Sturt will be in the backfield with Walsh. So you got a quarterback and an up-and-coming quarterback. Sturt is going to be the protector. The catch is going to be, nope, they're going to call an incomplete pass. As Corso had that one, as he rolled to the ground, it came free. So it'll be a 3rd and 7 from their 41. And Walsh that time felt a little bit better. He had a little security with Sturt in the backfield with him as a blocker. Nice throw, nice maneuver there. The pattern was well run by Corso, but a little bit low and couldn't bring it up. We're into the final minute of the first half. Purple Panthers facing a 3rd and 7 from their own 41. The play clock down to 7, now 6, now 5 as they get ready. Sturt is back there with Walsh. Looking over the middle, there's the pass, and it's going to be intercepted once again, and it's T.J. Sims comes up with the INT. Oh, we have an injured Purple Panther on the ground. So Sims had an interception. Kessinger had an interception. Duckel had an interception. Kessinger with another interception. And now T.J. Sims with an interception. So what do we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 interceptions. Is that correct?
I believe so. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes.
And T.J. Sims has 2 of them. Kessinger has 2 of them. And the Purple Panthers, John Corso being helped off the field as the Cavaliers will get the ball on the Litchfield 45. It'll be a 1st and 10 for the Cavaliers, leading 60-6 with 34 seconds to go until halftime. William Bendix, back in the good old days, Life of Riley, way before your time. As a Purple Panther fan, he would be uttering, what a revolting development this is. And now the Cavaliers, they're going to take their time. They're going to go back and drop to a knee. And if the officials hold it, yes, that should be the final play of the first half. As both teams are headed to the locker room. And our halftime score here in week 9 at Litchfield High School is Carlinville 60, Litchfield 6. We'll be back with third quarter action after these messages on WSMI. A first half which was dominated by the Carlinville Cavaliers. They have a 60-6 lead as we begin action in the second half. I'm Gary Boker alongside Dan Newkirk. Dan, we will have a running clock, and of course, a couple of things you have to consider here. One, the score is irrelevant. Two, the object of the game is to play hard, but to play as a good sports, and to make sure nobody gets hurt on either team as we have the final half of the final game of the regular season. kickoff goes out of bounds as the Cavaliers will get the ball. Looks like they're going to mark it on what, their own 40?
No, right away.
So it's going to be a first and 10 Cavaliers, all on their own 40-yard line. And as soon as we snap the ball to start the play, we'll start the clock and have a running clock here in the second half. Carlinville, after starting 1-3, looking to finish the regular season at 6-3, headed to the playoffs. Where they will go, who they will play, we'll find that out tomorrow night. And we'll have that preview show on the air on WSMI starting at, what, about 8 o'clock, I believe that is, right?
8 o'clock, yeah.
But of course,
head out for that one.
First things first, we'll have the Sports Saturday coming your way tomorrow morning at 9:03 on FM 106. And along with a run of about 6 yards to start things off.
It was Michael Duckles. Mason Duckles.
So used to saying that name, I just came out.
Right.
Second and four. So now you're going to have Duckles on the carry again. And he's going to get a first down as he'll take the ball into Litchfield territory to the Litchfield 45. So let's give him a gain of 9 yards and a first and 10 for the Cavaliers.
I think we've seen the last of Colton DeLong probably in this game. Quite a first half, though. 12 carries, 209 yards, 4 touchdown runs. Very impressive by Colton DeLong.
Well, there's a lot of Purple Panthers are glad to hear that, the last we've seen him. And, of course, a lot of throughout the South Central Conference they have that same feeling as well. On the carry this time is Luke Daugherty, and he's going to make a nice run of it as well, as he'll get another Cavalier first down. Moving the ball down inside the 25, down to about the 21. So a 24-yard run for Daugherty makes it a first and 10 for the Cavaliers once again. So we've got Daugherty in the backfield with Duckles for the Cavaliers. So they'll still stay in that familiar I backfield.
Have Aiden Taberzi at quarterback now for the Cavaliers.
Taberzi's going to roll out, and he's going to hand the ball off. And it'll be Duckles again. As Duckles will try the left side, doesn't get that far. As he's going to be brought down out there by Jefferson Thomas, the 6'3", 260-pound senior. Bring it down at about the 24. So from the 24, it'll be a loss of 3, and it'll bring up, or a gain of 2, it'll bring up a second and 8. From the 24. Taberzi, under center, hands off to the up back, Daugherty. Daugherty's going to take the ball down to about the 21-yard line. It'll bring up a third and about 4 for the Cavaliers. With a continual running clock, we're down inside 9 minutes already here in the third quarter. J.D. Byatts is the flanker out here to the left side now. As Taberzi, under center, will hand the ball off to Duckles. Duckles going to go wide right. He's going to head down inside the 10-yard line. You spot him down at about the 8-yard line. It'll be a first and goal for the Cavaliers.
That's going to take us inside the Seavers Equipment Red Zone, powered by Seavers JCB. Score now with JCB at Seavers. Check it out online at SeaversEquipment.com.
Jeff Niemanowski in the lineup for the Cavaliers. Been waiting all night to say that name. As they'll spot the ball on about the 7-8 yard line.
You know, way back machine, Gary, there was a Greg Niemanowski, I believe, that ran track for Curlinville. It was quite a talented young man.
I remember that now, yeah. Had some records back in the day, as they would say. Handoff going to be to Duckles. Duckles going to try to turn the corner on the right side. He's going to be driven out of bounds. The official, out of habit, signals for the clock to be stopped. It won't be. Who was that over there on the tackle?
Colton. I think it was Clayton Walsh.
Yes.
Clayton Walsh, who having his last night on the gridiron here for the Panthers as a senior, has made quite a few tackles on defense.
From the five, it'll be a second and goal. As the Cavaliers trying to churn up the middle, they've got him stopped, but the big offensive lineman going to get behind the running back and just try to push him forward. The official says, that's enough of that. We'll stop the play at the four-yard line. That'll bring up a third and goal as we approach the halfway mark of quarter number three. As you said, Aiden Taberzi, 5'9", 145-pound sophomore. He's now quarterbacking. Harrison Naputi, one of the linemen, just entered the game. Out of the I formation, we'll hand the ball off to the tailback. And in for the score go the Cavaliers. Was that Duckles?
Mason Duckles again on that carry, coming in from the four-yard line.
We'll give him a four-yard touchdown for Mason Duckles. So he'll get in on the scoring for the Cavaliers here in the third quarter with a four-yard touchdown run. Okay, we're going to keep the same kicker in there, all right? That Rosentrader try it? No, I don't believe that is.
That's Duckles.
I believe Duckles is going to try it.
The man of the
you
drive.
You scored, you can try. High snap. They call fire. Nobody's out there to throw to. Now he throws into the end zone. Two-point conversion is good. So this went to Daugherty, who makes a catch. And who threw that one? Was that Taberzi?
That was Taberzi, who's the holder on the play. It was a high snap. Taberzi made the choice to call fire, as they do, which releases guys into the end zone. You change gears, you change plans, and try to salvage what's left of the play. And as a result, you end up getting two instead of one.
There you go. And so the Cavaliers then have a nine-play drive that took 60 yards. Mason Duckles with the four-yard touchdown run comes here in the third quarter with 6:09 to go. The Cavaliers are on the board again. A nine-play, 60-yard drive. Mason Duckles doing the honors with a four-yard touchdown run. Then Taberzi hooks up with Luke Daugherty for the two-point conversion, making it 68-6. This scoring drive summary was brought to you by Hines Furniture and Flooring in Carlinville since 1854. We'll be back with the Cavalier kickoff after these messages on WSMI.
Run clock.
Should be running.
Bull. Run it. Run it.
Stops on the score.
Run it.
Here we go. WSMI. The Cavaliers with another short kick, and now it's loose on the field, and the Cavaliers come up with it. Well, Dan, that was something that you were saying all night long. If the Purple Panthers didn't watch out, it was going to happen. And that time, first guy looked at it. Second guy decided, well, maybe I'll try to get it. It squirted free of him, and the Cavaliers come up with it. So with a 68-6 lead, they'll get the ball back, and they'll do so deep in Purple Panther territory once again. We're going to spot that at the what? 22-yard line? So from the Litchfield 22, the kickoff recovery favors the Cavaliers. They'll get the ball right back, and they'll do it all again. Daugherty in the backfield, standing behind him, Mason Duckles, basically the JV unit for the Cavaliers. We're approaching the 4-minute mark of the third quarter. They'll hand the ball off to the up back, and that was Luke Daugherty. Daugherty's going to pick up about three on the play, so he'll get the ball down inside the 20 to the 19. Second and seven.
That's going to put us in the Seavers equipment red zone, powered by Seavers and Case IH. Score now with Case IH at Seavers. Check it out online at SeaversEquipment.com.
Second down and about 7 yards to go with the ball on the 19-yard line. Maybe about the 18. Clock continuing to run. Inside 4 minutes we go here in the third quarter. Cavaliers, as we said, with the win tonight, they will finish the regular season at 6-3, and they'll have to wait and see tomorrow where they will be in the playoffs. The Cavaliers are going to take a 5-yard delay of game penalty, moving the ball back to the 24, making it 2nd and 12. More importantly, as far as I think both teams are really concerned, it's going to keep the clock running as we'll get down towards the 3-minute mark. And this is a situation where if you want to really be a good sport about it, you could just continue to take delay of game penalties and ending the game in essence, but instead they're going to let the JV guys get in a few plays here. As Tversey comes up under center, we go inside 3 minutes. They're going to run that play clock down. It's to 10. He'll take it all the way down. And now under center he goes. Tversey will now take the snap, and he'll keep it himself. He'll run right up the middle and go down on about the 21. So a gain of a couple there, going to bring up a third, and still about 9 or 10 to go. The only bad part about that, as far as Tversey's concerned, is it hurts his yardage.
Well, it appears that the Carlinville coaching staff is trying to do what they can to keep the scoreboard under control here.
Well, in essence, this is a formality getting to the end of the game. I don't think either coach wants to see it get any worse as far as the score is concerned. I know for a fact that the main concern for the Cavaliers is to get everybody out of here healthy, and, of course, that's the same concern for the Purple Panthers is they have done a good job of competing tonight. As we say, they shot themselves in the foot not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, but five times. And any time you have five interceptions in the first half, you're going to have problems, and that's all there is to it. We look at the one time that the Purple Panthers actually put together a very sustained drive, 13 plays, 71 yards, but then lo and behold, they came back, made the mistakes the Carlinville Cavaliers made them pay quickly. After that drive, it was 26-6. It was a ray of hope for the Purple Panthers, but the Cavaliers, they sure put that fire out very quickly with Colton DeLong coming back with a touchdown run, and from then on, the Cavaliers have been coasting, as we are coasting now, on a 4th down and 10, down to the final minute of the third quarter. And Tversey's going to hand the ball off, and he'll give it to Daugherty. Daugherty's going to go off the right side and pick up a few yards, but not enough for a first down. So the Purple Panthers are going to take over on downs, and they will do so from their own 18-yard line, but not until the third quarter comes to an end, I do believe. They'll let that clock run out, and as they do, well, the Purple Panthers have an opportunity if they want to get one play in. Instead, the play clock, now it's just started, and I think that they're going to let the players go off the field and switch balls. That official needs to work on his lateral.
Now, the Purple Panthers, I believe, have 10 players on the field. They
need
do.
We need to get one more.
We need one more.
Well, we won't have to until the fourth quarter. Third quarter comes to an end after three quarters of play here at Litchfield High School. It is 68-6 in favor of the Carlinville Cavaliers. We'll be back with fourth quarter action after these messages on WSMI. Fourth quarter action starting. It'll be the Purple Panthers ball from their own 16-yard line, 1st and 10. as the pass going to go out in the flat to Corso. Oh, he's doing the reverse direction. Gets the ball out over the 20 to about the 22. Nice yardage there after the catch for John Corso. Give him a gain of 6. Let's call it second and about 4 for the Purple Panthers. Ball's over near the right hash mark here in quarter number 4. The Purple Panthers, they will be going from right to left or to the south end zone here in the fourth quarter. Remind you, 8 o'clock tomorrow night, the road to DeKalb, our playoff preview show, will come your air on 106.1. Pass completed to Chase Dealey. Dealey's going to be brought down there by Joshua Welsh after he gets the ball out over the 30-yard line. We'll mark it at the 31. And a gain of 9 when they needed 4. First and 10, Purple Panthers. Clock running down to the 10-minute mark here in the fourth quarter. As Clayton Walsh, still quarterbacking, looking for a receiver. Oh, in and out of the hands of Chase Dealey, out at the 40-yard line. In on the coverage was Carson Weiser for the Cavaliers. Incomplete pass will bring up a second and 10 from the 31 for the Purple Panthers of Litchfield. Corso will take his spot over to slot position on the far side. Looks like McGill will be the wide receiver. Oh, he's going to have some friends join him out there. Dealey's going to go out there as well as Stewart. So we've got 4 wide receivers over on the right side. Clayton Walsh all by his lonesome in the backfield. Handoff, no, the fake is to Stewart. Walsh is going to keep it himself. He's going to find some running room up the middle. He'll get out over the 40 to about the 42, maybe the 43-yard line. Outstanding run there by Clayton Walsh. We'll give Litchfield another first and 10. They'll move the chains and bring the ball out to the 42. Clock continuing to run. Down to the 9-minute mark we go. 68-6 is the Carlinville lead. Clayton Walsh in the backfield all by his lonesome. He claps, gets the snap, sends one out to Blaine Stewart. Stewart is going to turn the corner over on the right side. He'll get out over the 45 to about the 47. Nice run after the catch by Blaine Stewart, the 6-foot, 150-pound sophomore. They'll mark it at the 47. They'll give him a gain of 5 and call it second and 5. From the 47. Second down to the 8-minute mark we go. Is it just because I'm full of pizza, or is it actually getting colder now?
I think the wind has shifted a little, and it's blowing in the windows now.
Coming into our face a little bit more. The throw is in and out of the hands of Corso. Defender there, Levi Perkins, almost got a hand on it. That may have deflected just enough so that Corso couldn't make the completion. So it'll bring up a 3rd and 5 for the Purple Panthers. Ball still resting on their own 47-yard line. Clock running inside 8 minutes we go now. Illinois playing tomorrow. Are they on the road? They're at Purdue, correct?
At Purdue.
Well, we have that game on here.
That's a 10 o'clock start on 105.3, the Ox.
Long pass. Oh, right through the hands of the defender, Cole Tapscott, and then in and out of the hands of the intended receiver. Incomplete pass. Going to bring up a fourth down and 5. Ball still on the 47.
Chase Dealey was the intended receiver and I think was distracted. Made a appeared it was going to be an interception, but went right through the defender's hands, and then all of a sudden he tried to catch it, and it was a little too late.
But I think he was thinking about turning defender. He
right.
was thinking about,
right.
I've got to make sure that guy doesn't catch it, and as he moved back the other way, his hands weren't prepared for the catch, but for the tackle instead. Stewart, they're going to fake the handoff to him, and it's going to be Walsh once again on the carry. He'll get the ball out to midfield. That's not going to be enough for a first down, so the Cavaliers are going to take over on the 50-yard line as we head down to the six-minute mark of the fourth quarter. 68-6 is the Cavalier lead. They, with the victory, will move on to 6-3. And there were some people who thought when the Cavaliers started at 1-3, this wouldn't happen. But I think most people who knew South Central Conference football knew that the Cavaliers had played three of the toughest opponents in the conference right out of the chute.
Yeah, really very top-heavy early schedule for the Cavaliers. And once they cleared that, they've really kind of been rolling along. Moving into the, I'm sure they're very interested to get through tomorrow night now and find out who their opponent is. I don't think there's any doubt with Colton DeLong, with it stays healthy. They're going to have the capabilities of moving the ball. I've been very impressed with DeLong tonight.
Well, I think that's one thing also that Coach Easterday was talking about to the press earlier this week, that they had to more or less destroy the old program and reinvent the running game when they realized DeLong, an outstanding runner, a huge offensive line in front of him. They decided, let's go to the basics and revert back to the old days of just straight running the ball, and that's what they have predominantly done after those first three or four ball games when they put the ball in the air quite a bit. They more or less put the passing game away, stayed on the ground exclusively. Now tonight, we've seen them go to the air, and I think part of that is getting ready for the playoffs.
Absolutely, and you know, there's a lot of things you can do, and they play a very effective defense. Great defensive line. They've got some very active linebackers. When you can run the ball and you can play defense, that's one. You can play in rain, you can play in cold weather, and you can play in the playoffs.
And when you control the ball and keep it on offense, the other team cannot score. We've seen that in years past with teams like the Pena teams of old when they had their really good ball clubs. They would take hold of the ball, and you might not see it but for one series a quarter if you saw it then at all. Cavaliers again going back to just straight running up the chute. I like this. Helping each other up after the play is over. Luke Daugherty goes down, and then the Purple Panthers there to help pick him up as well. We're down to the four-minute mark. And as you said, not only does the Cavaliers have a big offensive line, they got two guys under 200 pounds, Michaelis and Reed. They are very agile, and, of course, when you've got those two kind of guys playing on your offensive line, they can move. But then the big boys, Tyler Reels at 235, Christian Griffin at 215, and Ethan Trim at 300. All three of those guys move very well for big guys. When you got that going for you, you can move the defense, and that opens holes for DeLong. And as we've seen tonight, once he gets a crease off tackle, he's outside, and he's hard to catch up with.
Now, Colton DeLong was featured with his 209 yards of rushing. And once here in the second half, Carlinville's given up some points on some downs and some quarterback sneaks trying to control things a little bit. But this big offensive line blocked for a total of over 320 yards of rushing yards tonight. So very impressive, and credit those front five of the Cavs.
And I've got to flip the coin over. You've got a Litchfield team here that is going to finish 0-9. But this was a team that never once tonight did they show quit. Now, yes, they had mistakes. Yes, they had five interceptions for turnovers, and you don't shoot yourself in the foot. But I'll tell you what, they came out toe-to-toe, and I think they played maybe not their best game, but one of their better games. We saw them earlier in the season, and there's been a lot of improvement from a lot of young players. And I think when you look to the future, things can get better for the Purple Panthers.
Right. We've got a, you know, just an outstanding group of eighth graders coming up next year with looking at 25, 26, 27 kids in that class. And so there are some numbers coming. There's some talent coming up for the Purple Panthers. And, you know, hopefully the coaching staff can take that talent and kind of groom it over the next couple of years and turn this program around.
Luke Daugherty with another carry as he's not going to get the first down, and so the ball is going to be turned back over to the Purple Panthers. You know, and this is one thing that I would like to say about each and every one of these guys in purple uniforms tonight. When you're winning, it's easy, it's fun, it's great to be a part of the team. When you're losing, it really tests your character. And I think when you look at these players, not the ones who dropped along the way, but the ones who have stayed the course, these are the guys you got to take your hat off to, because these are the kind of guys you want not only to build your program, but guys that you want to build your community in the future as well.
Well, and moving forward, the young men that we're looking at in front of us, Gary, they're not the problem. they're trying to be a part of the solution. You know, they're out there and they're doing their best. They're going to practice every night. They're playing hard. They're enthusiastic. They're having fun. We can see it. What we need to do is we need to figure out a way to build the numbers of the program, get the players out who need to be out there. But until that happens, it's going to be a very difficult time turning this around in a very competitive conference where week in, week out, you've got tough teams. But it's going to take numbers, and it's going to take the players who should be playing coming out. You know, credit these young men for out here and working hard and playing and going through the practices. They're trying to be a part of the solution.
And there's one right there, John Corso, with an outstanding run to get the ball down close to the 40. And now another one where he spins away from not one, not two, but three tackles. He gets the ball all the way down to the 24-yard line. We used to have a saying, trying to build our team in size, everybody come back tomorrow, and when you do, bring a friend with you. And that's basically what the Purple Panthers need to do. They need to create a culture by saying, hey, buddy, come out here and try this. You might find that it's a lot of fun. Corso's finding it's a lot of fun. He's just churning his way, headed straight south. No left, no right, straight ahead as he takes the ball all the way down inside the 10-yard line. First and goal, Purple Panthers.
And that's going to take us into the Seavers Equipment Red Zone, powered by Seavers and Kubota. Score now with Kubota at Seavers. Check it out online at SeaversEquipment.com.
As much as we have 10 seconds left, there's going to be one final timeout called by the Purple Panthers to see if they can punch one score in, and it's not going to make a bit of difference on the scoreboard. However, those guys in the purple uniforms, if on their final play of the final game of the season, if they could punch one in for a score, that would bode well for the future of the Purple Panthers.
Well, the senior players are all coming off the field together now for the Litchfield Panthers, getting a standing ovation from the Litchfield faithful. And that's one thing you can say about no matter what the score is, no matter what the season is or the record is, they support the Panthers, and we fill that half of the stadium week in and week out.
And I'm always impressed when the guys go off at the end of the game. There are two rows there of parents and fans and stuff. And now Stuart is going to say, well, we wanted the timeout, not necessarily the score, just to honor our seniors. And in the show of respect, they take a knee, and that is the end of the game. Well, final comments, Dan.
Well, you know, we had, like I said, two teams going two different directions. One ended their season tonight in the Litchfield Panthers, and I thought did so with a lot of class and a lot of dignity. Didn't show so much on the scoreboard, but their effort was good. The Cavaliers are warming up to make it in the playoffs. Very impressive running attack, very impressive offensive line, good defense. I think the type of team that I'm not sure they can make as deep a run as they've made in the past, but I think they can definitely get in and scare some teams, and who knows? You know, you get in there. You know, we got an issue going on up in Chicago with the teacher strike going on up there, and that could shake the whole thing up anyway, so we'll see what happens.
And, of course, season number two begins next week, but it'll all start off tomorrow night. Want to make sure that you tune in on FM 106 for our road to DeKalb. The preview show will come your way tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. But for here, for now, our final score is Carlinville 68, Litchfield 6, and we want to take this time to thank all of the fine people here at Litchfield for their hospitality. Of course, thanks to all of our sponsors. Without them, we would not be able to bring you high school football over the air on Friday night. Of course, thanks to Jen Graham, our producer, back at the studio, and thanks to my partner, Dan Newkirk. I know this wasn't an easy one for you, but I tell you what, when you've got the pride of the Purple Panthers, it never passes, right?
No, that's and we do. We got a lot of community pride here, and awful proud of our young men. And like I said, they're out there doing their best, trying to be a part of the solution. So we're gonna celebrate these young men tonight on senior night, and hope the best for them.
That's Dan Newkirk. I'm Gary Boker. Our final score one more time: Carlinville 68, Litchfield 6. Gary Boker saying so long from the gridiron.